Here will come Blake Bortles. You will hear the crowd. You hear them already. It's a standing ovation, folks. It's a standing ovation. Listen to the crowd. I'll let them tell you. Shotgun formation for Bortles and the Jags. They blitz. It's an all-out blitz. Pump fake. Lots of time. Now he fires. Complete to Allen Robinson. Robinson gets away. To the 35, to the 40. Past the 45-yard line. All the way out to the 47-yard line. Something special happening. Rookie to rookie. All the way to the 47. That's 22 yards and a first down. Bortles takes. Play fake this time. Oh, they're going to get him. He got away from the blitz. Look at this. And now he's going to throw it down the field for Will Tofoa. And it's caught. It is caught by Will Tofoa. All the way out to the 46-yard line. By all rights, they had it dead to rights. Bortles spun away from it. And a 25-yard gain to his fullback. Empty backfield now for Blake Bortles. Two receivers to either side, plus a tight end. Straight drop. Fires to the middle of the field. That's Hearns. He makes a catch in the Colts territory. Fuller's feet. Allen Hearns is loose. Allen Hearns is inside the 20-yard line. He got away. Allen Hearns is going to score a touchdown for the Jaguars. He broke a few tackles and got it to the end zone. How do you like that?
He'll get the opportunity next week again. Now, like we said, I think it's time to start building Blake's body of work on the field.
Live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Oh, and special guest host today. Their band is back together for the second time here on Jaguars Today. Tommy Mack, you made such a good impression, because I get, the audience is getting younger and younger, right? Generation Jaguars growing up.
Absolutely.
They don't remember the dark ages when we did radio
like, who's
together.
Who's this guy? Who's this guy with a funny accent?
Nah, man, it's good to have you back. And we had so much good positive feedback when you came in at the early portion of the year, kind of wrapping up 2014. Thought we'd take a look at what's ahead.
Yeah.
You just mentioned to me a moment ago, it's a former teammate of yours, Kevin Hardy's birthday today.
Yeah.
Second pick overall in the 1996 draft.
Saw that on Facebook during my bathroom reading time.
Hasn't Facebook turned into that, right?
The internet in general. I take the iPad is never out of my hand I'm at the house, man. It goes everywhere. But
yeah.
Tom, I didn't go. I wasn't in those social circles back in the mid to late 90s, but I didn't get invited to the Kevin Hardy party. But they were legendary.
You missed out.
They were legendary,
what
I heard.
Yeah,
was he the best guy in terms of throwing a get-together from your era with the Jaguars?
You know, Kevin was, and he still is, man. He's just a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. You know, he's always happy. He was back then. He is today. When I see him, he's always got a smile on his face, and he threw great parties. I mean, he did.
That was the word.
They were fantastic. Now the statute of limitations is way over, so I'm not going to put my hand on a Bible and swear.
Understood. I'm not looking for all
they
the
were
gritty
great.
Details.
They were fun. I mean, that was the one thing. We on the field, off the field, we just had some great guys, and Kevin was one of them. Kevin and I and Brack and Cheever and Beasley and a bunch of the guys always used to hang out off the field. So just a good person who was a great player.
You like Kevin. I mean, a lot of guys have stayed here. I mean, this is home to everybody, speaks a lot for the community and, just the relationships you guys were able to build and the kind of the foundation you're able to set here.
20 years, Mike, this year. I went to the first training camp of the Jaguars 20 years ago this year. And I love it here. I mean, I do. I love it here. I love the people. I love the growth. You see all the construction going on. I mean, coming downtown is wild now. It's like a roller coaster. Now, granted, I'm going a little fast, but it's crazy with all the construction going on. But man, we love it here. So it's the best place. And I had a great upbringing. I love Boston College. I love Chicago. But to raise a family, there's no better place,
in my opinion. Man. I agree. I've said it many times. I could hit the Powerball. I'm staying right here where I am.
Oh, yeah.
Not here at work anymore, but you got the idea.
You mean you wouldn't be up at the lunch upstairs or what,
if
man?
It were free, I'd be out there. Are you kidding me?
You got the best gig in
we
radio.
Really do. They treat us well. I mean, they treat us fantastic. The organization is so open, and they bring you so many guys. And then they feed us, which... is fantastic, and it's good stuff.
It's good, yeah.
Because the players are eating that food, too, so it's not a not the, my typical fare. You see, I got a couple of donuts parked off.
I see both of you do. Yes, we do. It's Donut Friday.
It's Donut Friday. Edgewood Bakery brings them in every Friday. Oh, what are we supposed to do, be rude?
No.
You wouldn't want to do that. No. Tom, you speak of the way downtown's grown up. This franchise's amenities have grown up. We talked a lot about that the last time. I mean, everything's in place. But the on-field product. So for you, I know Shad Khan has said, look, there's no mandate for a certain number. Do you have a mental number in your head that Gus Bradley needs to get past so there's not all that hot seat talk?
Well, I think, I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not the owner, right? Mr. Khan's going to decide when it's time, and him and David Caldwell will decide whether to extend Gus or let him go. I mean, that's up to them, obviously. But I think two things. I think one, and they probably go together. You got to get to six. That's minimum. But look, it's not realistic to think they're going to go 9-7. Now, if they do, doesn't mean they can't. Does not mean they can't. Anything can happen in this league. We see it all the time, right? You see teams that have bad years, they come back and have a playoff year, right? So I think two things. One, six would be minimum for me. And two, that, you know, December means something. You know, December really means something. This team, not that, and they don't even necessarily have to make it to the tournament, to the playoff tournament. But they got to be like, given this fan base, you know what? We're right there, and we're going to fight, and our record shows it, and we've got a chance. I just want December to have some great meaning.
So you want, and we've described it this way many times, you want them to be playoff relevant, at least at the beginning of December. At least, you know, not. I'm not talking about mathematically down to they have a 0.0001% chance, but truly have a chance if they were able to win four games to close out the season that they could be in the postseason at least, which would be a big step up from where they've been.
Absolutely. And to answer your question, I want to see that's the direction they're going, right? Because then it's like it's going to be incredible for the following year. I do think the wins and losses matter this season. It's time to win. It's time to win. You've been here. You've laid a great foundation. I like what they've done. I really do. Obviously, there's still a couple question marks, but I like what they've done overall, and I'm excited for this season. You know, I really am. I'm going in with an open mind. You know, I want to see how they come out. I think they need to come out strong. I think they need that. They need that for their psyche. You know, as a team, now individually, the guys are like, we don't need them. But as a team, it's always, you know, look, it feels good when you win. You want to go out and practice harder.
No doubt.
You want to go out and do it again. You know, so getting off to a great start would be not critical, but obviously very important.
I think it is. Those first two games are big. I mean, when you consider they go on the road then and take on the defending Super Bowl champs and the team that's been the best in the division for, you know, the last however long.
It's a measuring stick early.
Right. You get Carolina and Miami coming in. Yeah. There's no reason they can't go toe-to-toe with both of those teams.
Agreed. Absolutely.
So, you know, I hear that all the time. People say, hey, have you looked at the schedule? It's like, hey, this is a National Football League. They went toe-to-toe with Miami. Were it not for Blake throwing a couple of pick sixes last year, you don't know. I mean, that's easy to say. Those are pretty big game-changing plays, but they felt physically they matched up fine with the Dolphins. They've got to start converting this competitiveness to wins.
You know, it's absolutely, Demps. And, you know, I just want to make a quick comment. I just thought of it because I heard it the other day, and you didn't really mention it, but I keep hearing, not that it's all up to Blake, but it's like he's got to do the next step, and he does. But I don't think that's the most important aspect of this team.
Then let's hold that.
Okay.
Let's hold that. That'll be a beautiful tease.
Okay.
What is the most important aspect of this team?
I forgot how to do that.
It's a little radio tease. I'll take care of you, buddy.
There you
I got the clock in my left eye. I got Tom McManus in my right eye. And we'll take a quick time out here. We'll welcome your calls. Tom's going to spend the first hour of the program with us today. So if you'd like to get in and talk to Double Nichols, 641-1010, number 55 from your Jacksonville Jaguars from the heyday of the Jags in the late 90s. Tommy
Good
McManus
times.
Here with us. Question of the day today, kind of not really necessarily pairing with anything we've discussed so far. But we're thinking about this today. We talk all the time about people's favorite merchandise, all the Jag gear that's available out there. We want you to tell us what's not available that you'd love to see available that you can't find in the team store, you can't find it online. What's that piece of merchandise that you'd like to see an officially licensed Jaguar motif? And share your thoughts with us today on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. And you can tweet Tom at Meathead55 is the way to go with that one. Again, 641-1010, the phone line. That also doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. If you'd like to weigh in via text, you can do that. And the Jaguars Today Facebook page and Twitter feeds are all raring to go. So get on board. We'll get down to the bottom of it. What is the most important thing facing this Jaguar team? Tom McManus will tell us next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday since 1905. Your preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. Visit ClaudeNolan.com or stop by and see them. 4700 Southside Boulevard for our Friday sponsor on Jaguars Today. Claude Nolan Cadillac, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and joined in the studio here at Everbank by Tom McManus, former middle linebacker of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Tommy, terrific radio tease by you.
Oh, thank you.
You're so welcome. Going into the break there, you said...
It's almost like you've done this before.
I don't know, man. I didn't mean to do it.
We just scraped up a little rust, and he's ready to go.
That's
now.
Right.
He's in mid-show form now. You mentioned, because we do bring it up, and we say... in various ways, that the most important thing is the development of Blake Bortles and will he fulfill his potential. You think it might not be the most critical thing. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
Explain what you're saying right
now. Well, no, he does have to. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's got to know where, you know, when to let that ball go. He's got to have that clock in his head. He's got to know where to put it, where the hot read is. You know, he's got to read, you know, he's got to take all those advancements, right, from year one to year two. I think you're going to see a different guy. I mean, you play like that much your rookie year, or even as a young player, you come into camp and that you're I mean, it's like night and day, right? So I would expect him to make those advancements, but I think the key is the O-line, Mike. I mean, I know it's getting redundant here, but I like the additions. You like that word, redundant? Pretty good. Not bad.
Not bad.
I don't know light years.
Meathead.
I don't know light years, but I know redundancy. You know, but you know, I think with the additions, I like Wisniewski. You know, Parnell will, you know, obviously he comes highly recommended.
They love the tape on Parnell.
Yeah.
Everyone we talk to is just like, oh, well, where do you see this guy?
You know, here's the thing. Other than Julius Thomas and maybe Odrick, all these guys, they're taking a gamble on them. But
sure.
They've been starters. Maybe not full-time, but they've been starters. So they know what it's like to start. They know how to prepare as a starter. They know how to perform as a starter. I mean, take House. Every time he turned on Green Bay, you saw him number 31. I did. He made plays. He was either on nickel or whatever he was playing, but he was
played all, a lot.
He played a lot. You know, you saw him make a bunch of plays. You know,
Scooter,
you look at Scooter. Scooter's a badass. I like Scooter.
You know what? You say that, and you should be able to know that with authority, because as a former linebacker, but Tony and I have remarked on this several times.
Yeah.
When they signed him, okay, that day they brought him all in the very next day. And so many guys, like the guys that we were signing, they didn't know who else was coming in. They're paying attention to their own thing, and they're all going, we got Scooter. That guy can play.
He can play.
You know, they were the one. He was the one that more people were excited about internally. It was really interesting to see.
Yeah. No, listen, he's always around the ball. He can rush. He can set the edge. He's physical. He's a tough dude. I think he's going to be a great addition to this team.
But the O-line's going to set it all, because they want to run the football and take pressure off Blake, right?
Absolutely.
It's still a very young receiver core.
Yep.
T.J. Yeldon back there. I agree. Wisniewski's a guy who started every game in which he's been active in the National Football League.
He's nasty, too.
He's got that. So is Parnell.
Oh, yeah.
And so is Linder, I think. And
You
got three guys there next to each other.
Yep.
Beatles will get pushed by Can.
I want to see that.
Right. And at the very least, hopefully it will make Beatles play, even, you know, bring out the best in him. And then we all want to see what Luke Jokel does in year three, right?
Yeah, it's a big year for Luke. You know, he's... you know, there's no more. I don't want to hear, well, it's only his 19th game start.
He's only had two off seasons working out as
right,
a left
the first
tackle.
One didn't count. I mean, come on, he broke his leg. So, but no, he's got to come around. I think Parnell, out of all of them, is really the key. You know, and I know it's right tackle, so you don't think, it's right tackle. What about the left tackle? But I think Parnell's the guy that can really, along with Wisniewski, can set the tone. They got to be the tone setter. The D-line's already setting the tone. They set it last year. They're going to be there. And they're going to be a top unit, I think, in the entire league.
When you say set the tone, you're talking about playing physically and playing with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, set the tone. You know, right. Set the tone. Like a, you know, it's like I tell my nephew swimming at Auburn. I tell my girls who are getting ready to compete. Look, if you were in a fist fight, would you go full speed or would you go half? You'd go full.
I hope you would.
You don't want to lose, right? You don't want to get knocked out or whatever. You want to win. So it's a fist fight. You know, you're going to fight. So let's go and let's be that intimidating, you know, type of O-line, D-line that's coming to play and kicking your butt. And you better be ready.
They've raved about Julius Thomas out of the OTAs. Yeah. Tony and I, was odd because we couldn't really see an OTA practice. They practice every day while we were on the air, and they weren't open to the public, so we weren't out there. Yep. But everybody who was out there, from what they're allowed to tell you, is that Julius Thomas looked to be worth every penny.
Yeah.
And I don't care what the money is, man. They need playmakers.
Right.
And
the market's the market. You can't complain about it's the market. I mean, it keeps going
and
up.
It's not like the only time I care about it is when it impacts their ability to sign other guys, and they're nowhere near the threshold, so they're fine. Right. Yep. And I think they've done a pretty good job managing the cap for the short and longer term as well.
Yeah.
Were you a Fowler guy in the draft? Were you a Leonard Williams guy? Were you a Amari Cooper guy? Well, if it had been left up to you with the third pick, based on the way the two quarterbacks came off the board, what would you have done?
Cooper.
You would have.
All day. I just give your franchise QB another weapon. Here's my thing on Fowler. Two things. One, I can't say I watch a ton of Florida. All right, he's a great athlete. I'm a little worried that they got so enamored that he's a great athlete. You know, does a great athlete always?
Is he making up plays?
Does he always transpire to production?
Okay,
I don't know. That's debatable. Number two is long term. What if Gus and his system's not here in 2 years? What do you do with him? Is he a Sam? Is he a D end? I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? I got to see more to. So to me, there was too many question marks for him. I hope. Look, it's a shame he got hurt. That's just bad luck. I hope the kid comes back better than ever, and I hope he's a monster on that field. He's only going to help. But I thought they had enough of rushers that you didn't have to go that high for. You know, for Fowler, I think going with you drafted the young kid. You like him. I like him. We all like him. We think he could be a really good player. Give him more weaponry because you guys all know you got Thomas who can be down the seam. That's always a problem. That's a problem for a linebacker. I don't care even if you're athletic enough to cover him because he sees the ball coming and you don't. And if the quarterback can put it where it needs to be put, that's a very tough thing to defend. You got a safety over the top, he can come over and whack him one, that's different. But if not, that's a tough one. We still don't have that take it to the house, Jimmy Smith, any type of receiver. Is Lee that?
He's got the speed.
He does.
But whether or not, I mean, he hasn't shown us that he's going to be that guy yet, obviously.
Consistently, I don't know. So I would have gone that. But with that being said, I thought overall the draft was very good. I think overall
the later it got, the more value they kept piling up.
Yeah.
You know, guys that they liked earlier and just had to choose a different position, they just kept falling to Rashad Green, and then Bennett in the sixth round was just...
You know, now I watched Bennett quite a bit because Joey Bosa, his dad went to Boston College.
Right, could be the number one pick in the draft next year.
And his son, the Nick, just committed
there. Signed, yesterday.
So John was a year older than me, but I got to meet John a few times, and he was a first-round pick himself. And so anyway, I tend to watch Ohio State and just to see how Joey Bosa plays and that type of thing. So I got to see Bennett a lot. I think he's going to be an interesting, he's a perfect three technique. And he's a perfect, get on that edge of the guard and work that guard. He's a Sendarek Marks, right? You know, he's a Ziggy Hood type. And I know Ziggy's played the nose before, but, that three technique, a penetrating three technique type player. So I'm looking forward to him. But I thought overall it was a very good draft.
He's Tom McManus. We got him in studio here, and we got open phone lines for you right now at 641-1010. Tommy, we'll get back to the draft if that comes up. Let's go to Dave up first, though, today on Jaguars Today. Dave, you're on with Tom McManus. Go ahead, man.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, man. I'm going to try to keep it together, man. I got a little emotional when I called in and heard that Tom was on. But,
that's what Tyler said. He said you might have welled up a little bit there.
Let me tell you, man, I'm 56 years old, and I'm going to try to hold it together here. But Mike, Pat, Tony, great show, man. I listen to you guys all the time. But enough of the accolades for you guys. Tommy Mack, let me tell you something, man. You probably don't remember me. I've been a season ticket holder since the inaugural games, and my son was 9 years old when y'all first came to town, and we were in the north end zone. And every home game was unbelievable, man. I was working for the YMCA as a property manager and had the opportunity to coach the flag football leagues when my son was young and spent a lot of time with him coming up and actually was able to drive the bus with the honor row kids over there. But, Tommy Mack, I remember you back at the loft, man, on the other station and stuff, man. I've met you a couple times. I just hadn't heard from you in a while. I just want to say, Tom, man, hey, thanks for the memories, man. Thanks for being the role model. I've now got a almost 2-year-old grandson, so we'll be third generation Jaguars coming up. But let me tell you, I can't believe, you know, some of the back in the day, man, Thunder and Lightning, you, Mark, all those guys, man, a few of y'all Brackens, you'd come out to the Y now and then, and those kids just looked up to you like you would not imagine. But you know, my grandson, he made a couple games last year. We're now third generation, like I said. But I can't imagine playing under Tom Coughlin. That guy, if he found out you ran a red light or stepped the wrong way over traffic, you know, your butt was had the next morning. But, Tom, the book you wrote about your father, your days at Boston College, do me a favor, man. I just want to thank you and let you know there's a lot of people out here that look up to you. And you and I are of the same faith, man. So when you see your dad again, do me a favor. I'm a veteran. Give him a salute. Give him a big hug. Thank him for my freedom, and most of all, thank him for what he did to the kids like you. That guy has got to get a pat on the back, man. You'll have a great day.
All right, Dave,
thanks.
Thank
you, Dave. Jeez, that
couldn't
was
have, could have been a nicer call there.
Gosh, I feel like tearing up. That was incredible. You know, I'm just a happy man. You know, I got a great life. I've had some ups, I've had some downs, I've been through some, you know, some tough times at times, but you know, I've always felt like I'm a very blessed man. You know, I got a great wife and great kids and great friends, a great family, and you know, a great job, and you know, I'm glad that I can impact people like that. I think that's what we're supposed to be on, you know, this earth for, you know, leave an impact behind.
You've always felt that way. Ever since I've known you, you've talked about stuff like that.
Yeah,
the book you wrote will always be Pals.
Yeah.
Honoring your father and your relationship with him.
Yeah.
Is there still talk about possibly turning that into
still
the big
trying,
screen
one? Yeah, still trying. Actually, I still dabble in that. You know, I have a new project out that just got completed called The Lord's Soldier, which is very interesting. I have a partner named Devlin Mann out there, and we collaborate. We have a writer in at Flagler College, your old alma mater. She's the head of screenwriting, Lorraine Portman. And we've got a few comedies. We got We'll Always Be Pals, trying to make that. And I tell you this. This sums me up in a single thing. When I die at my funeral, I want them to play the live version of Home Sweet Home from Motley Crue.
Okay.
You know I'm a dreamer, but my heart's of gold. That's the first two lines, and I think I've always been that way.
You are a classic, Tom McManus. Yeah. There he is.
Because the riff is unbelievable, so I'm hoping people get
there's
jacked
that
up.
Too.
By the way, can I say something really funny?
Say anything you like.
The other week, I'm having lunch with my older brother Bobby. You remember Bobby? He's still in town, so we go to eat, and we have our lunch. And I'm walking. I'm talking to him outside, and this young man comes up. He's in his 20s,
and he goes, "Excuse me. Are you Tom McManus?" I'm like, "Yeah, man. How you doing?" He's like, "Dude, you signed my jersey in elementary school."
Make you feel a little old.
Yeah, my brother jacked me in the shoulder. He's like, "You old son of a bee." You know, he's out of it. Well, I was like, "Oh, that's great."
Well, you know, if Hacker were here, he'd tell you about how many autographs did he say he had?
My goodness.
17 of yours? Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
From back in the day.
Yeah, he got married, huh?
He did get married.
Oh.
I feel better now. You didn't get invited to the wedding either. Tony and I got stiff on the wedding invites, too.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What?
Hey, what are you? You know,
your boy, man.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing with Hacker, I guess. But anyway, the Dave brought up the fact, just, you know, kind of reminiscing his head, Thunder and Lightning. It was a special time, man. Mm-hmm. And for you, you're not an old man by any stretch of the imagination. But as I did the pregame show for the first time last year, you came on with David Lamb for the 20 for 20 segment, when he kind of caught up with the former Jaguars. And so we saw these guys coming through, and there really is just that special bond from the guys who played in that, you know, we'll call it a 5-year period.
Yeah.
The first 5 years of the franchise.
Yeah.
You guys just have something special that no matter what the Jags do in the future, and we hope that's many Super Bowl championships, that era is going to be tough to duplicate the feelings that came out.
Yeah,
of.
You know, well, obviously the success was great, right? And but even more so, if you think about it, we were all cast-offs. I like to call us, you know, go a little Metallica on you, a little vagabond,
sure.
Nomad, call me what you will. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We need some more metal coming back on the break, Tyler.
Please, please. No, but, you know, you even think of guys like Keenan. You know, Cleveland let him go.
Keenan and Jimmy both.
Brunell was a third, you know, string QB for Green Bay.
Yep.
You know, and they drafted him. All the expansion guys. I mean, they let those guys go. I mean, look, nothing happens without reason. We always say that in the NFL. If it's a money thing, it's a money thing. But at the end of the day, they either like you enough to keep you or they don't, and you go somewhere else. And, you know, credit Coughlin and his staff and the personnel department for bringing in the right guys.
Yeah.
I mean, every year we brought in the right guys, you know, and whether it was draft or – and you could go through the list. You know, I have this debate a lot with me. I'm like, let me just tell you the talent we had. I list off – 20 players, even guys that I didn't play with, you know, the Strouds and the Hendersons,
sure.
And the guys that came after. I mean, they were great picks.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Peterson coming here.
Tom definitely had an eye for talent, and I think, I mean, we've seen that get validated tenfold now in his career with the New York Giants. Yeah, guys going to the Hall of Fame.
I'm a big fan of Tom. You know, you have to – I had him in college, and he was brutal. I was scared to death
of
him.
You said it many times. These guys didn't know how good they had
it. Oh, it was nothing
with
here.
Jag training camp in the early days.
I threw up every time I ran up there. I never threw up down here.
There you go. That should tell the tale right there. Of course, who knows what you're up to partying late in college. Tom McManus here with a 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board, it is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. We'll be back with Tommy Mack next up, straight ahead on Jaguars Today here on 1010 XL. 92.5 FM. You know I'm a dreamer, but my heart's a gold. I had a run behind, so I wouldn't come home low. Just when things went right. I ain't still alive, folks. It's okay. Let him know. Nothing happened in the last 5 minutes. He's fine.
That's right.
You can enjoy it while you're here, too.
There you go.
Tommy Mack is here with us. It's Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tom McManus, former Jaguar linebacker. Tom, catch us up, because you've always been an entrepreneur. You've always had your hands on a lot of different things going on. So what is the latest? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, the majority of my time is spent working for a company called the Klotz Group of Companies. We're a private equity real estate investment firm. So we buy, sell, and build apartment communities all throughout the Southeast. So I'm head of their business development. And I just bring in capital, whether it's debt, equity, strategic partnerships, JV partners. So, like, next week I'm going to be up in Wall Street, first time ever.
Nice.
And meeting with about, you know, 10, 12, 15 private equity funds, hedge funds. It's going to be a lot of fun. We just closed the deal, so we're celebrating a little bit up there. But it's fun, man. I deal with big money. I mean, they're big deals. And it's exciting, and every deal's different. My CEO, Jeff's awesome. He's a younger guy, but knows the game and has done it for a long time. We own about $250 million in assets right now as a company, and we're looking to grow and build, and it's fun, man.
Do you get the same kind of buzz from completing a deal, a big deal like that, than you did from having success during your playing career?
It's different. I can't say the same. No, it's different. It's nice, you know, obviously.
Nothing
you know.
It's tough to replace.
I mean, if in that kind of realm, I mean, obviously, you know, other things in my life are more important than football, but it's tough to match it. You know, people don't, you try to explain it, you can't explain it. You know, I can't anyway. You know, what was it like? Well, it was freaking awesome. It's like the greatest. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. You know, it's just incredible. And for a guy that, you know, really had to fight his way to make it, I mean, it was really incredible. It was really great.
I think that that's why a lot of people connect with you. I'm serious.
You
have like an everyman look at it. Like they hear in you the way they think they would be if they got to, you know, if they had the talent and the drive to make it to where you did.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because I got to catch myself from saying the good fortune. It's not fortune. I mean, there's some luck. You got to.
Sure.
There are a lot of guys that probably could play that fall through the cracks. But
listen, if Tom Coughlin wasn't the coach, I'd never play in the
But you had the ability and you had the work ethic to take advantage of the opportunity when it came
along. It was a timing's everything, and that opportunity, a startup team, was perfect for Tom McManus at that age.
So, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, in reference to Dave's call a minute ago, damn, that made me tear up.
I
got
that
one. I got another one in. Mm. So awesome to hear Tommy Mac. I'm telling you, I got so much of that last time we had you in. So let's talk a little bit more Jaguar football in the time we do have here. As a linebacker, you know, Paul Posluszny, very much the heart and soul of that defense in some ways. Cedric Marks is the best player, clearly, last year. But Paul has got that some of the similar qualities. He's a man's man. You know, he's just he is that middle linebacker, that prototypical guy.
Yep.
A lot of hype for Telvin Smith, and I think he's going to fulfill it. We talked about Scooter.
Yep.
Not a whole lot proven beyond that, though. Yep. How much of a concern is linebacker depth?
Well, I mean, listen, and they're gonna, the team knows better than anybody, right? So I was a backup, right? And people might have said, oh my gosh, what happens if so-and-so goes down? What are we going to do? You know, he's never started before. I always felt like I could start, so I'm sure the backups feel, I would hope they feel the same way, or there's an issue there. But look, you're one play away. So that's the one thing that's, and maybe it's salary, I don't know what it is, Mike, but even back when we were playing, if a guy went down, somebody stepped up, and they maybe not filled the all the way to the top, but they got pretty damn close. You know what I mean? Whether whoever it may have been. So we always had good depth. I mean, you think just linebackers alone. I mean, Jeff Kopp could start. Boyer started. I started. You know, we guys like that. Even though you were backups, you were gonna make an impact given the opportunity. So. You know, who knows with these guys? You know, we went through the list, you know, off the air with Jeremiah George and other guys. But, look, let's hope the starters don't get hurt. And then after that, let's just hope that they've got that quality depth that can step in and fill the void.
What about Jonathan Cyprien this year? He was a fan favorite, really, from the outset. You watch his college film. He made a lot of plays. He's a very personable guy. But he'll admit he hasn't made enough big plays, you know, and that's not the only thing you look for, particularly out of a strong safety. But, you know, where is he in your mind based on where they drafted him, first pick of the second round a couple of years ago, and what kind of a season are you expecting out of him?
Well, it's got to be a big season for him, I think. You know, I think he's okay against the run. I think he gets high load a bit. We talked about that last time I was on, you know, where they flash someone in front of you and someone goes behind you. I think he has trouble with that, but hopefully that's just a mental thing or a technique thing. So I think he's got to have a big year. But look, strong safeties, they do have to cover now. You know, back in the day, it was like they're another linebacker.
Sure.
Maybe cover the fullback and the tight end, big deal. But now not today. You got to be, it's almost like you have two free safeties back there. So he's just got to be more fluid and, you know, listen, at the end of the day, they've got to we remember last year, gosh, the breakdowns in coverage, the miscommunication. I mean, if someone's running free, someone
screwed
messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody should be running free in an NFL secondary. So hopefully they don't have any of those issues starting the season like they did last year.
Well, they feel a lot better about the corners now, too.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Colvin, we saw some glimpses of him.
Yeah, I like
right?
him.
And,
yeah.
and
Gosh,
he's a guy they feel that they could have been a first-round, maybe a high second-round guy had he not gotten hurt.
Yep.
You mentioned House. They bring him in. They like Demetrius McCray.
Yep,
and
me too.
They feel like Grotz has had a good offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fair to say, you know, as a third-round pick on a team that was pretty thin, they probably have expected more out of him up until this point. So, but they feel like they've got some quality depth back there for the first time, but you still have question marks at free safety because Sergio Brown has not done it on a full-time basis. He's been more of a special teamer, dabbled playing some free safety, and he's going to be the guy they take the first look at. They draft James Sample, but I don't know. Is that a position to you? How quickly does it take to like a mid-round pick to get acclimated coming into that position in the National Football League?
You know, I don't where they're picked doesn't matter to me. You know, I mean, you either know how to play the position or not, right? So I've never played free safety, obviously. But look, at the end of the day, don't let anyone behind you. You know what I mean? I mean, don't you know your coverage. Know your, you know, when you're the deep half or the deep third or whatever, or you're in the hole, whatever, you know, in the middle, whatever the case may be. Just know your coverage and don't get beat deep and make sure you're on your keys. You know, the hardest read and reaction is play action as a safety or a linebacker. Because if they're running the ball on you and they're getting some success, your mindset is, I got to stop the run. They throw a play-action pass and they really do a good fake. Guess what? They're behind you. So you got to really just be on your keys. Have great peripheral. Make sure you see those linemen. You're not staring at them, but you see them. Right? That was one of my I'm not tooting a horn or anything here. One of my best attributes was I could sniff out a play. I could tell if it was run. I could tell. Not that I didn't take false steps on play action pass. I did, but I was taught early in college what the correct key was for a linebacker, in my opinion, and it does vary. It was always, look, the back either has the ball or he don't. You know, if he hops, it's a draw, right? You know, if he takes a step one way and comes back, it's a count. I mean, it's not rocket science. You know what I mean? And then, but the biggest thing was being able to see that O-line without looking at him. Are they coming at me hard, or are they going straight
up? In your peripheral vision, just sense
them? No, I'm looking at the back, but I can see the line.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, let's take a look at this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. This one's for you, Tony. The other football.
Oh.
1990, U.S. and Jamaica played a scoreless tie in the second round of the World Cup. How have we gotten worse since then?
Jamaica.
How have we gotten worse since then, Tony, since 1990? Jamaica, Yaman.
I was in a pretty good mood, thank you.
I know you were. 1934, Hall of Famer Willie Davis born, NFL defensive end with the Browns and the Packers, five-time Pro Bowler, five-time first-team All-Pro, inducted into Canton in 1981. Other notables on this day include Steve Grogan, longtime Patriots quarterback, turned 62. Kevin Butler, former Georgia Bulldog. I remember watching him kick a 60-yarder in college, and a long time primarily with the Bears, I think the Cardinals at the end. And Brian Blades, 13 years, I want to say 11 or 13 with Seattle, the wide receiver out of Miami. And, of course, we mentioned Kevin Hardy earlier today, 42 years young today, second pick in the draft in 96, first team All-Pro 1 year and a one-time Pro Bowler, and he's up on the Jaguars Pro Bowl Wall of Honor right outside this very studio. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Call 620-9225 if you're in the market for a family dentist, or if you need some cosmetic work done, or check out jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
A tentative trial date for the civil case against Jameis Winston has been set. Erica Klinsman has filed a sexual battery suit against Winston, and the trial date has been set for April 3rd, 2017.
Nothing like a speedy trial, Tony.
Right. This all obviously still stemming from the alleged sexual misconduct of Jameis on the Florida State campus nearly 2 years ago now. Winston has continued to maintain his innocence throughout the process and has actually filed a counterclaim against Klinsman, accusing her of defamation. Klinsman has also filed a separate lawsuit against Florida State for how they handled the alleged incident, which is set for next July in 2016. Free agent tight end Jermaine Gresham remains unsigned, but on the eve of training camps opening up across the league, has set up a couple visits with teams. Gresham visited Arizona earlier this week, is reportedly visiting with Green Bay today. Seattle Seahawks All-Pro safety Earl Thomas, still recovering from offseason surgery on a torn labrum, is not expected to be available for Seattle at all in the preseason, may not be ready for their week one matchup at St. Louis. The Seahawks go to Green Bay on Sunday Night Football in week two, so they probably want him back by then. And Kansas City Chiefs cornerback Sean Smith has been suspended for 3 games after pleading guilty to DUI. Smith is entering the final year of his contract with Kansas City.
Yes. Couple of things here, Tom. As we'll have Gus Bradley's thoughts from last night's Gus Bradley show coming up, and you're going to stick around to weigh in on some of those. And he just can't pry himself away from the studio, Tony. I've noticed Tom McManus, he's back in the element, and he's having a good time.
Yeah, I am.
Let's talk about the league a little bit here.
Yeah.
Deflategate has dominated the offseason headlines to a large degree. What's your take on the overall situation, how significant it is, and B, what's your best guess on where it all ends up for Tom Brady?
I think the whole thing's stupid. And
I'm not surprised, Tony, that Tom thinks.
I think the whole thing's ridiculous.
Air in the balls is not a big issue.
I don't know. I mean, I just think the whole thing's ridiculous. I think it's got blown way out of proportion. If they didn't win, nobody would care. At the end of the day, you got to get it done with your QB, but you got to get it done with a lot of people. I mean, you know, you got to win the line of scrimmage. You got to make the play. You know what I mean? So I don't. And then when they were fully deflated, he kicked everyone's ass anyway. So I don't, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's like, Look, they the quarterbacks like their nuts. I mean, their balls. Sorry, just kidding. I had to throw that in there. I like their balls inflated
a certain way.
A certain way. You know, they like a different feel. Yeah, we do, right? Yeah. We like different feel. But, you know, again, I've never been a QB, but I thought it was blown way out of proportion. I hope he doesn't get suspended at all.
Do you think Goodell, though, in the short term, do you think Goodell, when he issues his appeal ruling, that he sticks to his guns? Because everyone seems to think that the court system, if it goes that way, will overturn it. Do you think Goodell initially will say, nope, I'm leaving it stand pat, and if you want to take me to court, take me to court?
I think he's got to make a stance, because if he doesn't, everybody, including players, are going to be like, oh, the golden boy doesn't get any punishment? What kind of crap is that? So I think he's got to follow through. You know, they call the investigation. They did the whole Wells report, yada, yada, yada. But I think he's going to have to stick to a little bit, you know, as far as, you know, what he's going to throw down at Tom. But I don't know. He'll be back.
Seattle is among the favorites once again to go to the Super Bowl. It's understandable. They've gone to the last couple. Russell Wilson is working on the last year of his rookie deal, set to make $1.5 million, which to an average person, that's phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
But that's not the market for NFL quarterbacks. So if you are the Seahawks, are you paying him like a franchise quarterback based on what he's done, what you expect him to do, or are you letting this thing play out like it seems like they've done up to this point?
I first of all, I think they're going to have to pay him because what every player does is they look at every other player in the leagues at their position and what they're making. And he could go down a list and say, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. I've had more success than that guy. That guy's got a $100-and-whatever million contract. I should be getting a little bit more than what he's getting. And that would be fair. That would be a fair thing. So I think, look, I wouldn't want to let him walk out that building. I would want him to be a Seattle Seahawk for life. I think he's shown that he's that kind of player, that kind of QB. I do think Marshawn Lynch is a huge part of his success. Don't get me wrong here. But I think Russell Wilson has shown that, look, he's a franchise QB for them, is he not?
I think he has been, and that's the great debate, though, isn't it? Because Mike Sando did a piece for ESPN this week where he polled 20 to 25 NFL, quote, insiders, right, some coaches and scouts and what have you, anonymously grading the quarterbacks, putting them into tiers.
And about
two-thirds of them didn't put him in the top tier of quarterbacks and said he's like a tier two. A few even said he's a tier three guy, and that, as you mentioned, so dependent on Marshawn Lynch and that defense and the way they run that system there. But I look at his passing numbers, Tom. His TD to interception ratio is impeccable, and it's one of the best, most prolific three-year periods to start a career that we've ever seen. And people harp on, well, they don't throw it all that much. The guy's thrown over 70 touchdowns in 3 years. Yep. Take him to the Super Bowl, take him to the playoffs every year. I think they need to pay him as well, but obviously nobody wants to pay more than they have to, but are they risking, you know, setting up a bad situation, alienating their quarterback, or once he signs, is it not going to matter?
No, once he signs, it won't
matter. It's all water
under
the bridge.
Yeah. I mean, you get paid and you move on, and I think they're going to have to do that. You know, unfortunately for a lot of NFL executives, they still downgrade him because of his size, which is dumb.
And they say he's too dependent on his feet, and that they question. I mean, at least that's some of the comments we're reading this week.
Tony. And I think the Lynch argument goes the other way, too. I mean, I'm looking at his stats right now. His three best years have been with Russell Wilson as his quarterback. I get that Marshawn Lynch helps Russell Wilson. I think Russell helps Marshawn, too. I think they complement each other really well, and you talk about that touchdown to interception, it's 72-26 in his career. That's a ridiculous number.
Ridiculous. Shout out to all the real Africans out there. Shout out to my homies in Compton.
I love Marshawn Lynch on the program.
I loved what he did there, man. I was cracking up.
You got to smell that action, boss.
There you go.
I love that guy.
He's just about that action.
Well, yeah, I'd pay him.
Do you like Seattle in the NFC, or is there another? You like Green Bay?
I like Green Bay. I mean, I think it's going to be exciting. Every year's exciting. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Green Bay had them last year in the playoffs,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. I think they'll be a team to beat in the NFC. I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers. I think he's one of the best QBs in the game. I think you make an argument for him as maybe being the best in the game.
I think you
today.
Do. Yeah.
I think that's valid. You know, again, I think with Green Bay, you know, can their defense hold up? You know, can they, you know, stop the run, get off the field when they have to? Or are they going to continue to rely on Aaron Rodgers to just outscore people?
What about the AFC, Tom? Patriots once again, or do you like Baltimore? Do you like Denver? Do you like somebody else? Jags?
I don't think I'd love to see the Jags get in there. Now, once you get in there, anything can happen, obviously. I don't think Denver. I think Peyton's kind of done, and it's sad that it's that way. But, and you know, I just don't, you know, and Peyton, look, Peyton's been great. But he's never, I never feel like he's, like if I had to pick Brady or him, I'd pick Tom all day, every day, any day. And I love, and Peyton's great, obviously, but he's, when it comes down to the crunch playoff, gotta, you know what I mean? He's struggled. He's had some tough outings, man. So, I don't like Denver. I think Del Rio's going to do a good job at Oakland. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think he's going to do a good job.
Do you think, as time has gone on and the Jags have failed to make the playoffs for a number of years now, do you think Del Rio's tenure here in Jacksonville looks even better in hindsight?
I thought Jack. I actually like Jack. 07 and 2010 were very good years, right? They were excited. 04, too, right? Wasn't 04 when they went 12?
05.
05.
Yeah,
was that the 12 win and nobody believed that they were that good? Remember? Yeah. It was they won 12.
You know what, though? Donovan Darius said after that season to me, he goes, did you see the schedule we played that year? Even he was like, wow, we really played some bad teams that year. And he felt it was inflated a little bit. But regardless.
Yeah, I think any real person that is in any kind of position, if you're a real leader, you're going to look in the mirror and try to figure out how to make everything better. And I think Del Rio will take the experiences of being a head coach here, and he'll be better in Oakland because of it. That's what I think. You know, I think Jack was a fine coach. He was a little, you know, I don't know. I'd like to see it. You know, the whole players coach, I'm not a big fan of the players coach thing. I mean, look, I want my players to like me, right? I want them to respect me. I want them to like me. I want them to know that I care about them as people. But at the end of the day, I'm your boss. And you better do what I ask you to do. I'm going to find someone else to do it.
Don't have to be your buddy.
I don't have to, you know, put my arm around you and you know, hang out. But I don't know. I think Jack hopefully learns from that. And I think he is. Everything, you know, they got Ken Norton Jr. out there. I think they're going to be an interesting team.
And they, of course, got Derek Carr. Minnesota's got Bridgewater. And, of course, Blake Bortles here. Those careers will all be tied together because they all went in close proximity in the drafts. And when we come back, we'll kind of get your ranking on where those guys stand right now going into their second years. And also we'll hear some thoughts from Gus Bradley last night on the Gus Bradley Show here on 1010XL and weigh in with Tom on what Gus had to say as we kick this thing off with the Jags again on the practice field for the first training camp practice a week from today, open to season ticket holders. Fat Tony and I will be out there broadcasting live next Friday out at the Florida Blue practice fields with Tom McManus, with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Cardinal and Cadillac Friday continues on Jaguars Today. Don't forget, question of the day, weigh in on Twitter. Weigh in on Facebook at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Meathead55 for Tom McManus, asking you, amongst Jaguars merchandise that you can't get now, is there a piece of gear, is there a piece of merchandise with a Jaguar theme that you'd like to be able to get that you can't currently get? A lot of people apparently have been waiting for certain apparel to make themselves available.
Yeah, but like any.
Yes, particularly in the throwback variety, but tweet us. We'll get to some of your responses to that coming up. We'll get to the phone calls here momentarily, including one from a mutual friend of ours. A little bird told me that Jacksonville won the bid to host the USA Rugby League National Championship.
All right.
On August 29th, coming up out at UNF, which is a wonderful segue to a guy who's in here in this very seat that you're sitting in just a week ago. Spinner Howland, your former radio co-host. What's up, Spinner? How are you, sir?
Yeah, listen, I had to take the opportunity to call and openly and publicly thank two of the hardest working fellas I know, two of the most honest guys I know, that have done so much for me personally and for the growth of the Jacksonville Axemen. I don't know how many chances I'd get with you both on the radio again at the same time. So I just want everybody to know the two of you don't have an ounce of quit in either of you. And just thank you for everything you've done for me and the sport of rugby league. You've been fantastic. It's unbelievable.
This is the second call that's going to make me cry.
I know, jeez, man.
How about that?
What's up, mate?
Mate,
it's great. Good to hear you.
Days of the Rumble back at Enterprise Park.
That's right.
You truly both deserve a lot of credit for the part that you've both played in bringing, and like Mike said, yes, the second consecutive year, the national championship, the USA Rugby League, is coming back to Jacksonville because of the support this city and our fans give. And it's because of guys like you that have supported it. And the international events, the Russell Crowe event, the Leeds Rhinos event, you two truly have played a big part in that. So I openly want to thank you in front of a listening audience. So you both deserve a huge pat on the back from me, the Axeman, and the city of Jacksonville for the bit you've done.
Well, as you well know,
back
Spinner,
at you, buddy.
I am a Jacksonville radio legend, as so says the Facebook page of your boy Jared Hayne.
All right, legend.
International legend now, thanks to you spreading the word. Look, Tom and I will tell you this a million times so we're blue in the face. We just talk about all the hard work you've done, man.
Yeah, no
this
doubt.
Guy built it from nothing.
Scratch.
And
scratch.
Going strong, Spinner. Congrats on the Rugby League Championship coming around again, and we expect to see, you know, many more titles for the Axemen over the years piled up here in Jacksonville. So the work is not done, my friend.
I want to see Greg Norman fly his helicopter back into the game, Spinner. Can you pull that one off?
Mike, we'll get on the phone right now.
Come on. We need him to show up on his freaking helicopter.
All those Aussies know each other. You
that
know that,
great.
Right? They're all friends.
I got a great Russell Crowe story. So Spinner asked me to announced the rugby game one time with Jeremy Monahan, I think his name is. They flew
sure.
in.
Yeah,
it
I remember
was,
it
you
well.
Remember, you remember that, right? So we're in the booth, and I know nothing about what I'm talking about and this and that, but Russell comes in. So Russell's standing in between me and Jeremy, and they're talking this and that. So I'm trying to think, like, what in the hell am I going to say to Russell Crowe about rugby and this and that? So I finally said, hey, Russell, so, you know, do you get in front of the team and, like, fire him up, tell him, go out there and kick somebody? He looks at me and goes, I'm a little more subtle than that, Tom. They're totally screwed up. Like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh, yeah.
So you're
not really
gladiator, is what I'm saying. All right.
You don't pull out a sword and, like,
no.
threaten a child.
That would be very inspiring. Yeah. Spinner, it's always good to hear from you, man. Let's do it again soon, all right?
Yeah, you too, guys. Thanks for everything again. All right, see you.
Hey, Spinner, congratulations. Yeah. You're the man.
He is the man. He works hard to make this a better sporting community.
No
with that. Here he is, Tony. He's back. Ding him in, Tyler. Terrence is here. And, Terrence, how are you this morning?
Mike and Tom. Hey, what's up, guys? Double Nickel. I was calling to say, hey, same here. Man, you know, I just love listening to you guys. And I love you guys. So I know when I call, a lot of people think I'm a jerk or whatever.
You're not, Terrence. No. I don't think you're a jerk. I just think you are. Your emotional state when it comes to the Jaguars fluctuates wildly. All right,
it does.
I mean to extremes. All right, and I don't, Terrence, I love you, man. We hugged it out. I met you at a training camp, and I don't have anything against you personally. I just think you have some ridiculous opinions from time to time. That's all.
I love you guys. I met Double Nickels. I don't know if he told you that, and that was my boy there. So I was calling. I heard him after I got the call in. So. Call and say what's up to T Mac, and hey, I want to get some Nary from T Mac, some of his paraphernalia that he's got hanging up in there that he's saving.
You mean memorabilia?
Memorabilia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a minute! Whoa, what are you talking about, Terrence? Yeah. Great to hear you, man. You know, I gave most of my stuff away. I have a few things, but I don't have a lot of stuff anymore. I have a couple of helmets, a couple of jerseys, but that's about it.
Yeah, ding him out, Tyler, if you would, please. Yeah. Thank you, Terrence.
I don't know if you heard. Earlier this week, Terrence called. I think it was Monday. He was very upset that Blake Bortles had played in the golf tournament.
Yes.
What?
Because he could have used that time to get better.
Oh, jeez.
I know, right? And the thing of it was when he was out on the West Coast.
Right, he asked what hand he plays golf with. He's like, does he play golf left-handed? Yeah. We're like, yeah. He's like, well, that's better than if he played it right-handed.
Right.
He's got to protect that. We're like, have you played golf?
You use them both there, Terrence.
No, you know, listen, they're human, man. They're, you know, they care about their job.
Of course.
You know.
Of course.
I'm just saying to the people.
Of course.
They're just guys that happen to play football, and they take their job very serious, and they're going to. Listen, I went out four nights a week. Can you imagine if people knew what I was doing four nights a week down at the corner in Atlantic Beach?
Uh-huh.
Thank goodness there are no video phones or nothing. No camera phones.
You're happily married. You've got beautiful young girls,
and
you've got one, you told us, freshman in high school.
Gonna be a freshman.
I'm sure as a proud dad, that doesn't scare you at all.
I am. I don't really know what to do yet. I just keep lifting weights and hoping it works.
And being ready for all that.
She's a good kid. We're very close and very, you know, very open in communication. She'll be fine.
So you probably, back in the day, would you have been asking LeSean McCoy for an invite as a teammate to the kind of party he's throwing? Was anybody pulling off those kind of parties? Well, have you heard about this?
Yeah, he's like only inviting women or something.
Ladies only, right?
It's not Lake Minnetonka up in Minnesota.
It may be the Fred Smoot party boat, too.
They'll lay out all the details.
And all this. Tom's a good family man now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
so.
No, I went to Kevin's parties, right? Kevin Hardy's parties back in the day. But they're just having fun. As long as they're not doing any criminal activity and not hurting anybody, they're not hurting anybody.
Let's hear from Gus last night. The Gus Bradley Show back on Thursday nights here on 1010XL, which precedes Jaguar Thursdays right now. Jeff Logman hosting with Gus Bradley last night. Gus saying, it's just good to be back and talked about getting ready to get this thing kicked off.
It's great, man, huh? You know, last couple, six, 7 days being in the building, you know, you can just sense it. A lot of the guys are excited, though we can't have many conversations with them. Just the number of guys that are in our building. I think, last year there was 13 or 14 that, you know, guys consistently working out. Doesn't mean anything, right? They can work out in California, wherever they're at.
Right.
But there is something to be said when you have over 25 guys consistently showing up. You know, I think as a coach, you feel good about the camaraderie.
I think, Gus, one thing he's done, Tom, and from your vantage point, I'd like you to weigh in on this, is that despite the fact that clearly they've only won 7 games, the attitude of these guys in this locker room has, you've yet to run across one that is just like going through the motions or just, man, we stink. Now, you know, Toby Gerhart got a little bit of heat last year for talking about how things weren't going well, but and that's natural, man, when you lose as many games as they've done. How important, I mean, Gus Bradley's personality is always positive. He's always, I think he's a great closer. I think when it comes to, you know, if they have some success on the field, free agents will flock to playing for this guy.
Sure.
Does it matter, though? I mean, because we see Bill Belichick, who's the opposite of warm and fuzzy. Tony and I want Gus to succeed because he's such a good guy, but...
Right.
You know, how much does that personality and that energy and spirit factor into anything?
Well, I mean, it does. You want, it's great the players love him so much. I mean, they do. You know, they love playing for him. And that's important. That's very important. You know.
But you could have success playing for a coach you can't stand, right?
We've seen it here. I mean, a lot of guys didn't like Tom.
Exactly.
Look, a lot's on the line. It's time to win. You know, it's time to get it done. I will say this, based on listening to that, it's funny. When we were here the other day for the black program luncheon upstairs, I saw a bunch of guys coming in from working out, and I thought, wow, this close to training camp, they're here.
Right.
Like, I would never, I'm the furthest away from the stadium.
Right, like a week and a half before they needed to report.
Are you kidding me? I'm like, you're never going to see me. I'm like hiding. You know what I mean? I mean, I was really impressed by that. I saw about 10 guys come through the door that had been running on the field. I thought that said a lot. So, look, they should be excited, man. They've added some good talent. They got some younger guys that are growing up. And, you know, look, having the energy of a coach like that and the positivity of a coach like that, and I know he gets on them. You know, I haven't seen that, but I've heard that he does get on them when, you know, he's not happy with performance or what they're doing or whatnot. So, but at the end of the day, none of that, you know, look, at the end of the day, none of it matters because you got to win. It's the NFL. You got to win. So hopefully we win.
No doubt about it. Gus Bradley talking with Jeff Loggeman last night here on 1010XL. Also asked about the team. He said that they have great expectations for the 2015 season.
Our team has great expectations, and that's what you like about them. I mean, I think, you know, guys, that the receiving group, the offensive line group, they all have the expectation that let's take this thing to another level. And our philosophy won't change as far as we're looking for improvement, but I think our mentality has changed.
Let's get a couple more in here from Gus Bradley, and Jeff asked him last night, what is the moment you anticipate most? What are you most looking forward to at the start of training camp?
You know, Monday's a good day. Monday's a good day, but there's nothing like going on that field for the first time. You know, and to see the guys in the locker room and be able to go in there and visit with them and see how they're doing and see the excitement on their face. But when you walk onto that field for the first time, I mean, right, Lugs? I mean, you can probably still feel it, the energy that comes with it.
Gus is a genuine guy, man. As far as I can tell, you can hear that in his voice. He's like, right, Logs? I mean, like, he's really seeing that in his mind's eye. Like, I can't wait to be out there with these guys. What do you make of their efforts to bring practices to different locales? Bartram Trail last year, they're doing Mandarin this year.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to help them win any more games, but it's a nice kind of community outreach.
If you look at what the organization has done, including that, and including everything they've done here with the game, they've done everything that is needed, right? I mean, they've done a fantastic job of what they've done to the game day experience, to them being out in the community, et cetera. Now it's time to put it all together. I tell you this, you guys win, you'll have this city forever. That's the magnitude.
I agree. They're so ready right now.
But
you can't squander that either.
No, you
because
cannot.
They're only going to accept, be patient for so long. Now, we teased earlier talking about the second-year quarterbacks. We're going to hear in a second what Gus says his challenges for Blake Bortles going into year two. But as you looked at the rookie seasons of Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, if given the chance right now to rank them for how you'd like them on your franchise, is Blake at the top of your list, or would you go another direction?
I think him and Carr would be a pretty close one-on-one. I think Bridgewater came on. I think he's going to be exciting to watch, but I really like Derek Carr, too. I like Blake, though, a lot, so it'd be a toss-up. But,
those two over Bridgewater was your first inclination, though.
Yeah.
Interesting, because I think there's a lot of national feel that the Vikings are going to be kind of a sneaky team this year, and he was, pretty good accuracy-wise for a rookie quarterback last year. There's a lot to like. What is it you like about Carr?
I like his arm. I like his athletic ability. I like that he seems to not be afraid back there and make throws. So, year one to year two, they get you on film. Now they game plan against you. Can you break through the game plan? Some QBs can, some QBs cannot. So we'll see whether it's those guys or other guys. But I do like Carr. I think he's going to be a ball player.
Gus Bradley last night talked about Blake Bortles, his second-year quarterback, and on the challenge that he has for him going into year number two.
I think the challenge for Blake, and I've talked to him about this, is to own the offense well enough, have a good enough relationship with Greg Olsen that he can challenge him and say, hey, here's the plays I feel comfortable running. I think you want to have that relationship where Blake can say, here's what's important to me. Here's the things that I truly believe in.
Yeah.
Yeah, final thoughts for you, Tom. We're getting ready to wrap up here. All these things, we know what we need Blake to do. What do you expect out of him this year? What do you think he will take a major step forward?
Yeah, I do. I think there's nothing like playing, and there's nothing like experiencing that, and then especially as a young player, and then coming in that next year. It's the confidence, the swagger, being comfortable. I think Blake has all those things. And look, it's going to be up to Greg Olsen, the other coaches, to hone everything in and make sure he makes the right decisions. Again, I think it starts up front. I'm really excited about the wide receivers. I love Hearns. And Robinson is going to be fun to watch. Obviously adding Julius Thomas. So I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be an interesting year.
We are, too. Tony, I always say we feel like sometimes we wonder if we're too close to the situation because we're in the building every day.
Sure.
You get swept up in the positivity, and you've got to be careful, to look at it objectively. But a lot of reasons for hope and optimism. Why shouldn't you be optimistic, I guess, is my point. 7 weeks before the start of the season, you've added a bunch. You feel like you hope you've got your young franchise quarterback in place ready to take the next step. Let's get this thing kicked off.
I'm very optimistic, but I'm also guarded like a lot of people are, right? Because we've been through it. Well, I mean, look, every year, every team at this time is like, I'm excited.
Sure.
My team is going to be great.
Oh, you should be.
And then we'll see what happens. But it should be a good year. It should be a fun year, man. I'm looking forward to coming down on Sundays and being a fan, which is always fun, which means I can drink in the stands and yell and stuff.
He is a responsible drinker in the stands, though, ladies and gentlemen.
Without a doubt.
He is Tommy Mack.
thanks for that disclaimer.
I'm just clearing it all up for you, brother. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about Tommy Mack. He'll be on rooting on your Jacksonville Jaguars. That's and hopefully, right. You know what, we're not going to wait another 6 months to have you back. Hopefully we'll work it out a couple of times during the season.
Say the
and
word.
Pop in maybe at the quarter pole, something like that, and see where things stand.
Yeah, I'd love it, man. It's been great. Always fun to be with you guys, and obviously you do an awesome job, man.
So, hey, now go do some real work.
Huh? It's Friday, too.
I know. It's tough, right?
We just came off a vacation, too, so I need a vacation from the vacation.
Yeah, it happens that way sometimes. Tom, great to see you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to see you're doing so well. On Twitter, at Meathead55, give Tommy a shout-out and tell him how much you enjoyed him popping in on Jaguars today. Thanks again, man.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Guys. Tom McManus for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Back in a moment with a look at the fan feedback spotlight as Jaguars Today rolls on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's difficult. You know, I think I said before, sometimes it's hard. You got to make decisions what you think are best for the team. You know, that's what we felt like we had to do.
That's Gus. In response to a question about the decision to release Ace Sanders last week. And, Tony, one of the things that made the timing curious is usually in the offseason in the NFL, you do as much as you can to keep that roster full at 90 guys. That, you know, you're churning the bottom of the roster.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on guys. You want them under your control so you can bring them in and compete. And when the Jags didn't immediately sign somebody, we wondered why that was the case. Well, they have filled that roster spot.
Yes, they have, signing wide receiver Greg Jenkins off the practice squad of the Oakland Raiders.
Championship.
Today. He's more of a return guy. In his time with Oakland, was didn't play at all last year. 2 years ago, played in 6 games with the Oakland Raiders, but I think had something in the neighborhood of 20 returns somewhere in there. So,
and that's how he's going to have to make his mark here.
Another
right?
guy who comes into the mix is a potential return guy for the Jags.
Right, as we talked about.
6'1", 210, something around that.
Ryan O'Howard made a good point yesterday. Don't forget, Neil Sterling's a guy they probably don't want to expose to waivers by trying to sneak him out of the practice squad. He's a big guy that they feel maybe can grow into a role. He would seem like if he makes the active roster, he would be a pretty good bet to be a game day inactive most weeks. But, you know, you draft him with the hopes of developing him. You've got the 4 primary guys in front of him, the 3 second-year players and Rashad Green. So if they're going to keep a 6th receiver, it's because he is the primary punt returner. So if they want the roster flexibility, they got to hope Rashad Green maybe becomes that guy, Tanner Doss in the mix, and now Greg Jenkins may get involved in the competition as well as a return guy. So we'll keep an eye on that, at least in the punt return category. Now, question of the day, Tony. We asked people about merchandise. We know fans love to rock the gear.
Yeah.
We see the team store. It was buzzing the other day. In fact, when Duval Doom came in, it was open. They were doing a brisk business the other day. So they're always some items you can't find that you think you'd love to have. If only they had this. We asked folks today, what piece of Jaguar merchandise that is not currently available would you see yourself buying if it were available to you, and what kind of response did we get?
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar, throwback jerseys. I need throwback jerseys from Mike, a Jimmy Smith throwback jersey. I did go to the NFL team store, and they had throwback jerseys for all but 3 teams.
The 3 most recent additions to the league.
Carolina, Houston, and Jacksonville. They have no throwback jerseys available for those 3 teams.
At least in the sense of the Jags, you could legitimately see, like, there was that 5-year period where they had great players.
Well, and when you go to the Tennessee Titans throwback jerseys, it's Eddie George, right? So if you're going to have an Eddie George jersey, why can't you have a Jimmy Smith?
Sure, same era.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing.
Fred Taylor, Mark Brunell, you name it.
Yeah. But they just
Tommy Mack
don't have it up there. From Colby, a copy of Gene Smith's draft board to see how smart he really was. From Chris, a number 1 jersey with Dempsey on the back. I think he's trying to get himself
a shirt. Sold out. They're sold out currently.
From Duval Doom, he said, loot crate. I've been on Digital Jag for a while. To get on that would be fantastic. It's kind of a nerd and geek, like, gamer box that gets sent out to subscribers. It is kind of cool. From Brandon, an Aaron Colvin jersey. How do they have one for Brewster but not Colvin? From Black Dog Express, great to hear Double Nickels again. Looking for a 50x100 nylon Jag flag. From Cristiano, an I Survived Blaine Gabbert shirt. made by Tim. He's actually got one out there. He sent in the photo of it. From Duval Till I Die, Bri, one of the seats they've taken out of Everbank Field. From Joshua, I can't find these throwbacks anywhere. Have an MJD one as well. He sends the photo in of the Mark Brunell jersey. I have one that is similar.
With the leaping Jaguar on the shoulder, right?
From Hardy Bros, a Jags flight fan package that would fly out-of-state Jags fans to the game with a room and shuttle.
Hey, you know what? It'd be interesting. I don't think they're as concerned with filling up the away seats as they are the home seats, but I get what you're saying, you know. And look, you don't need to fly. Go to Tampa. Get on the Bold City Brigade bandwagon that's going to Tampa for week 5. Go to boldcitybrigade.com for more details. Here's some on Facebook. Tyler Fountain said he wants the candy that they used to have that would turn your tongue teal, or the alternate gold jersey from back in the day, hashtag Jaguars Today. Joshua Lee Wright says, or he asks, does the Jaguar statue outside the stadium count? I'd take that and I'd mount it on a golden teal monster truck with black stripes down the middle of it.
Whoa.
All right. How about a...
That's just a big truck.
How about a... You're right. I was going to say maybe a scale version of that, right, for maybe your hood or something.
Right.
John Bird is a smart man. He's looking in the future. He wants that replica Super Bowl ring for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nicely played. Dustin Cowgill said the tarps that covered the open seats when we couldn't fill them. Josh Richburg said he wants a he wants a European style nude statue of Shad Khan. Is that weird? Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag Not Awkward. Hey, whatever. Hey, look, Josh, it's 2015, brother. You do you. And Seth weighed in. He wants the Cabana Seats Home Edition. Hey, look, I bet you could purchase that, actually. If you want a cabana put in your house, you could find somebody to do that for you. But come on down and fill the ones down here at Everbank. So having a little fun with that today. And having fun with Tom McMahon. It's good to see him. Tommy Mack is staying in great shape because he's got to be beating those suitors off for his daughters of
thanks. Yeah.
In the years to come, Tom.
Freshman in high school. That's
good luck,
crazy.
Sir. And Tony, as a parent of only one child, let me say, thankfully, that one child is a male. And on that score, I'll leave it at that as far as that goes. Hey, thanks, Cardinal and Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. Such a great supporter of this program and really such a great landmark here in Jacksonville. Since 1905, serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida. Check out some of the deals they've got right now, including in July, the 2015 SRX crossover available for a 24-month lease at under $340. Per month. Check out Claude Nolan Cadillac at ClaudeNolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard and get the Claude Nolan Edge. Every customer gets it. It's simple. No dealer fees, no finance markup. They're going to save you thousands. Get the Edge and save time and money and start driving your Claude Nolan Cadillac today. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take care of you in fine fashion. Stop in and see the good folks over at Claude Nolan Cadillac, 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today, Claude Nolan Cadillac. Monday, Blake Bortles reports along with the rookie class, quarterbacks and rookies. Mm-hmm. So Chad Henne will be in as well. Hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with Blake early in the week. I know he's got a media availability after our show on Monday. We hopefully maybe can get him before that on Monday's show. And look forward to catching up with Gus, too, before training camp kicks off next week. And Tony, by this time next week, they're out on the field a week from right now. They're wrapping up their first practice, or
yes,
just about wrapping up their first practice.
And it'll be open to season ticket holders next Friday.
That is correct. Next Friday, just season ticket holders, but plenty of open practices to follow beyond that, including, of course, August 3rd, the following Monday night, a week from next Monday at Mandarin High School. And it'll be much like the one at Bartram Trail last year. So check it out. That'll be a fun one to see. If you only take in one or two training camp practices, that would be a good one certainly to go to. And you know what? By this time next week, Tony, not only will they be on the field practicing, we'll be inside 6 weeks to the start of the NFL season and just 6 weeks and a couple of days from the Jags hosting the Carolina Panthers.
It's crazy.
It just flies by, man.
It's crazy.
You know, the scrimmage in the stadium a week later, everything's just going to fall into line, and before you know it, we're going to be wishing the preseason away.
Yeah.
Man, can the regular season get here in a hurry. I tell you what, less than 7 weeks sounds like a hurry to me right now. It's imminent at this point in time.
I mean, they're in pads in what, 12 days?
12 days. Coming up. So there you have it. We'll see you out there at practice, all you season ticket holders, next Friday. In the meantime, have a terrific weekend for Fat Tony, for Tom McManus, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. Thanking again Cardinal and Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime coming up next on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.